Republican Aaron Schock has said many times he does not want to be objectified for his killer body. But today, the congressman from Illinois almost took it all off for the cover of Men's Health magazine to encourage all Americans to take the time to eat, sleep, and exercise. No matter what party you identify or don't identify with, Aaron Schock's hot, tight, muscular body is sure to get some bipartisan support and a reach around across the aisle.
What exactly is going on here? Schock is rumored to be in the closet as a gay man, and yet his voting record is clearly anti-gay. Why did he do this? Is Schock secretly enjoying slapping our faces with his muscle, or does he just want to be loved?
Join us for this and all the hot news. Lock your liquor cabinets. Paula Abdul is reunited with Simon Cowell as judges on the next season of The X Factor.
They told Whitney Houston to go to rehab, and she said, yes, yes, yes.
Steven Tyler, not so forced feminized, on the cover of Rolling Stone.
Arnold and Maria are separating, and Susan Lucci's new career on Desperate Housewives.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Hillian.
And this is Feast of Fun. Now there's a Republican I'd like to fuck. Woo! What a way to start the day.
Well, he is the hottest Republican in Congress. They've voted him that many different kinds by many different people.
Where was this contest held and why was I not invited? So this is Aaron Schock. He used to be the congressman from Illinois, representing Illinois in Springfield. And now he is in Washington, D.C. as the new voice of the teabagger party.
Is he a teabagging top or a teabagging bottom?
I think he's a teabagging bottom from the photos in Men's Health magazine.
Oh, because he's presenting.
He's the ripped representative. Fit to lead Congressman Aaron Schock has a plan to change America with one set of crunches at a time. I think the editor and Aaron Schock are like doing like the talk show news circuit, and it looks like they have a little bromance going on.
There's something going on there. They were on the Today Show with Matt Lauer talking about this whole thing, and they look kind of a little bit like a couple up there.
They did look
but
like a couple.
But I think Men's Fitness is really, it's just for straight men.
It's for men who enjoy learning about fitness, mm-hmm. and for men who enjoy looking at other men's bodies.
Yeah. And the occasional picture of a woman in there, so it doesn't look super gay.
So your girlfriend will go, are you cheating on me with Aaron Schock? No, baby, I'm not cheating on
but
you.
But Men's Health was kind of, when I was young, it was a form of porn for sure.
Absolutely, honey, because, you know, there's only so many international mail catalogs you could get your father's credit card and register his name on it and subscribe to it. But so this is the article that is running in Men's Health right now, mm-hmm. and it sounds like it sounds like if it was written by a very amateur porn writer.
Oh, really?
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
It's early spring in Washington, D.C., and the cherry blossoms lining the tidal basin are bursting like kernels of popcorn, lending a fairy tale feel to the nation's bastion of power. But catch a glimpse on the real Washington in action, and you better arrive early. If you hit the street before 8 a.m., you might see the fittest man in Congress, U.S. Representative Aaron Schock of Illinois, clocking in for his 5-mile run, sweating. A conclusion of a morning fitness routine that starts in the house gym every weekday morning.
That is total erotica.
It's
except
erotica.
Except for your voice, but the rest of it was very erotic.
Oh thanks! What's going on here? So I posted this and like, you know, because it's my job on feastoffun.com, reluctantly, to find hot, interesting, kooky, strange men and post blog entries about it. And it's like exploded. It's the most popular thing today. And we were going to, you know, heaven forbid that we actually would dedicate a show to a Republican, especially a closeted one.
Well, we've talked enough about, like, you know, Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann. Why not a hot guy?
Listen, you know, the thing about it is, and I'm reading all the comments that people have posted on mm-hmm. our site and on Facebook. Check out some of these. It's just, it's kind of unnerving. Mm-hmm. And I'm coming to the conclusion that if the Republican Party really wants to destroy the gay rights movement, All they need to do is have a lot of hot, muscular guys as Republican politicians. Because it's very easy to hate on Newt Gingrich because he's butt ugly.
Right.
Nobody wants to sleep with Newt Gingrich, including his wife. But Aaron Schock, it's like everybody wants to sleep with him. And you'd hate yourself in the morning, but you're glad you did it.
You'd save the DNA too.
Oh yeah, baby. I'd be saving. I'd be doing it, sleeping with him for my country.
I bet it's hard for him to hook up. The rumor that I've heard is because we live here in Illinois, and I've heard rumors that he is with somebody, and he's been with this person for a very long time, like up to like 10 years. So maybe he met him. He met him in high school, or because he's not even 30 yet.
Oh no, he's just turning 30.
Okay, so yeah.
So he's chicken in Congress.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, he's the youngest person in Congress.
You know that when he uses a bathroom, he just like, it's toe tapping fun.
He's not really chicken in Congress, he's practically like jail bait in Congress.
Yeah, I think some of those pages are older than he is.
I bet.
You know? So he's like, hey, what about me? Look at my abs! And you know, the thing about it is that, like, there's all these photos of him on the internet, like at cocktail parties, at pool parties, and he looks like a fun guy.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So, and then when he was interviewed by Matt Lauer, he was just like, hi, everyone. This is Aaron Schock, and I want all America to be very fit. And I'm just like, oh, his purse fell out.
He doesn't have the most masculine voice. He should have gone to Hollywood to get a voice training so his voice would be lower and more masculine sounding.
A lot of actors actually have voice coaches because straight or gay, guys who study drama hang around with a lot of gay men and, you know, pick up the fabulous way of speaking, which is, I think, the proper form of English. But, you know, they feel that the proper form of English speaking might limit their acting careers. So they actually hire professional coaches to butch up their voices. And just like, you know, transgendered women
and men
feminize or masculinize their voices to sound more like the gender that they want to be.
So I guess he didn't get that kind of training, but I'm sure now that after hearing this podcast, he's going to be like, I need a voice tutor.
Girl, you better get yourself, beat the black woman out of your voice. That's all I got to say. Look at the, read some of these comments.
Of black women, though, I think it's kind of funny that he's on the same kind of agenda as Michelle Obama, who's saying, look, these kids have to stay fit, they have to eat right, stay active. And so, like, they're coming together. It's a little bipartisan action there.
You know, the problem that I had as a kid with fitness is competitiveness. I wasn't a competitive kid. I was a cooperative kid. And so for me, exercise and fitness was always like us versus them.
That's fun though. That's you cooperate with your team against the other team.
But that's still competitiveness, so? You know? And so for some kids, it's really, it ruins the experience of fitness because the fitness is supposed to benefit you as an individual. And, you know, so like gymnastics or weightlifting, or yoga or you know, some kind of cardiovascular.
Kids don't want to play yoga. Kids want to play like kids games.
Kids have a huge diversity of experiences, just like individuals. And, you know, not all kids are competitive. You know, not all kids want to us versus them team kind of thing.
Well, some kids are not. You were an indoor boy.
No, I was very much an outdoor. I had a gym membership when I was in eighth grade.
That was so you could cruise men in the locker room.
My parents just sent me to, my sister was working out at a gym and she said, do you want to come with me? And I said, sure. And so like, I was like this, you know, gay kid in high school, but I could beat all the boys with arm wrestling. And they're all just like, what the fuck is this?
See, people think you just grew these muscles overnight.
And it's a lifetime process.
The weird thing is like, I've been dating Fausto for 12 years. And when I first met you, people were like, I didn't realize Fausto had muscle. And it's like, so it's like one of those things where I have to constantly explain my boyfriend has muscles.
That sounds kind of like your boyfriend's transgendered or something.
Exactly. It is like that.
It's like, what's going on here?
You've gone from feminine to like hyper masculine.
I've always been feminine and hypermasculine at the same time.
That's true. You have been. You know? The reason you did it is because you can make your pecs into like a nice bust in your drag. I'll just put these together. Okay?
I do this because it is.
You like it.
I like it. I lift weights because it's me and my body and that's it. You know, it's like it allows me to feel connected to the world. It allows me to feel connected to myself. I do this because I can see change happening. It's something that I can actually have an impact on. Mm-hmm. And it's sexy. Mm-hmm. You know, like a performance artist from the 1990s, whose name is escaping me right now. He wrote this wonderful essay called The Iron. Mm. And it was like, the iron does not lie. What was his name?
Just pause the show and look it up.
Better yet, I'll let the computer do the thinking for me.
Henry Rollins was his name, and he is his name. It's not like he's dead. Or
he has not gone away anywhere.
Oh, he still looks fierce, honey. And he has all these tattoos. He was a sex symbol in the 90s. Still a sex symbol, and he's like a heterosexual, like inspirational fitness guy. So he wrote this really influential essay called "The Iron," where he wrote, "I believe the definition of definition is reinvention." Very Madonna-ish. Not to be like your parents, not to be like your friends, to be yourself, completely. When I was young, I had no sense of myself. All I was a product of all the fear and humiliation I suffered. Fear of my parents, the humiliation of teachers calling me garbage can and telling me I'd be mowing lawns for a living, and the very real terror of my fellow students. I was threatened and beaten up for the color of my skin and for my size. I was skinny and clumsy, and when others would tease me and I didn't run home crying, wondering why. I knew all too well. I was there to be antagonized. In sports, I was laughed at. I was a spaz. I was pretty good at boxing, but only because the rage that filled my every waking moment made me wild and unpredictable. I fought with some strange fury. The other boys thought I was crazy. I hated myself all the time. As stupid as it seems now, I wanted to talk like them, dress like them, carry myself with an ease of knowing that I wasn't going to get pounded in the hallway between classes. Years passed, and I learned to keep it all inside. I only talked to a few boys in my grade, others, losers. Some of them are to this day the greatest people I have ever known. Hang out with a guy who has his head flushed down a toilet a few times, treat him with respect, and you'll find a faithful friend forever. But even with friends, school sucked. Teachers gave me a hard time. I didn't think of them either. So then later on, he goes to talking about how he was gravitated to wanting to lift weights and how lifting weights to him brought him a peace of mind and made him feel connected to the world around him. And that's really why, you know, really people will need to be motivated for fitness. It's not to think of this as grooming. It's to think of this as essential form of breathing, eating, sleeping. It's a way to feel connected to the universe around you. And when you can get to that point with your relationship to your body and to exercise, it's something so rewarding that you can do for yourself that no Republican congressman or Michelle Obama or porn star is ever going to be able to do that for mm-hmm. you. Because you cannot change the world around you. You cannot change the limitations that people place in front of you. Mm-hmm. You gotta take a picket sign, go out into the streets and peacefully march and say, this ends here. Mm-hmm. That is how the civil rights movement right. start. Or you can also take some change and control your life, the places that you can actually have an impact.
Well, it's about physicality too. For most people, it might not be lifting weights. For some people, it's probably yoga. For other people, it's, you know, they might want to play basketball or they might want to ski or go for a long walk.
But you have to discover that for yourself.
Yeah, but it's about enjoying your physical being. And some people just get that through sex.
Or by looking at photos of Republican Aaron Schock. What's going on? Why do you think like Aaron Schock is like posing shirtless with his, I mean, he has a really nice body.
I think he's trying to up his profile because, listen, during the last election, they were talking about who mm-hmm. McCain was going to pick as his vice presidential running mate. And I said it's going to be somebody because the Republicans like looks. So it's going to be somebody that's very attractive, like Dan Quayle, who George Bush picked.
Quayle was butt ugly, though.
He was considered very attractive by most of America. You may not have liked him. And so I said it was going to be somebody like him, but and just as stupid. And I was right. It was Sarah Palin. I got the sex wrong. So it was
I
got the gender wrong. So it was Sarah Palin, just as good looking as Dan Quayle, and just as stupid.
So you feel that Aaron Schock might be the VP for the next Republican
Party. They can't run him because he's only 30. You probably have to be at least 36, right? Because you can't be president unless you're 36.
Hey, I have a big heart. So I may not be big in size or older, but one day I will be big enough to run for president one day. Yeah, President Aaron Schock.
So I think he's just trying to make a splash, and he's trying to make himself like out there and known and become famous by showing off his body. Because if you look at like, what does it take to be famous on Facebook? Have nice a good tits. Body.
Nice tits, kids.
You fight a guy who's got like a half naked, showing his chest off and his muscle, and I'll get you, bet you he's got 5,000 friends.
That's true. It's an easy way to do it.
It's an easy way to do it. So I think for him, this is the way
he
knows how to do it.
Well, it's not an easy way, though. That's not fair because a lot of these guys with really good bodies have been working hard, really hard at it.
That's true. But the other thing, though, too, with him, like, this is the way that he can do it. And so he wants to get out there. He wants to get famous because probably someday he's going to want to have a lot of allies because something's going to fall out of his closet. And he'll want some friends there.
Sexy friends.
And who knows? Maybe it's our state senator, Mark Kirk.
I don't know. You know, to me, if you really want to encourage health and wellness in the United States, the first place to start is by giving Americans access to health care. You know, it's like you can't build a home when the house is on fire.
Well, it's access to healthcare and also, I guess, proper labeling of food and education because, you know, children should not be eating things that have high fructose corn syrup. And probably, you know, for the more I'm reading about, like, even any kind of sweetener in a lot of these products or any kind of processed
food. My parents didn't let us have candy or sugar except on Halloween.
Yeah.
And then, man, we were like crack addicts.
But it's the everyday kind of stuff that you don't realize. It's like, oh, I'll have just like that cup of soda. And then the next thing you know, you have a cup of soda every day for a year and there's 10 pounds.
As Cookie Monster says, cookies are an sometimes food, not an everyday food. I like to eat fruits and vegetables and clean cuts of meat. And low gluten grains.
So on Facebook, you asked if people would tap him or not, if they would have sex with Aaron Schock.
Before you answer that, would you have sex with him, Mark?
Would I have sex with? I probably would. Why not? He's cute.
Oh, you would ingratiate yourself. I mean, would you be happy to have sex with him?
No, it would be pure drudgery. Because that's usually what sex for me is.
Has it ever happened to you though when you had sex with somebody, you hooked up with somebody at a bar or you met them on the, you know, back in the day you hooked up with somebody at a bar, today you meet somebody on the internet, you go home, you have sex with them, you know, it's very romantic, it's very erotic or whatever, or it's very terrible, but at the end of the sex, the lights come on and you look at the bookshelf when they're not looking and there's like a Rush Limbaugh book and it says, I told you so. And you're like, fuck, I just had sex with this awful Republican, an evil Republican, Rush Limbaugh loving Republican.
Sex. It's just sex.
But you had basically, by having sex with somebody who likes Rush Limbaugh, you're having sex with Rush Limbaugh.
Oh.
That's a boner killer for you there.
It's not, you can't think about it like that.
When you drive alone, you drive with Hitler. World War II propaganda there, but it's true.
Well, by the same thing, so think about who's really liberal. So if you had sex with some guy, then you actually had sex with
Michael Moore.
Michael Moore.
I think if you had to have sex with Michael Moore or Rush Limbaugh, I mean, Michael Moore's got some bear heat going. Whereas Rush Limbaugh's mouth tastes like a toilet. You know, he smokes those cigars all the time. And he's a big windbag, so you know he just doesn't breathe or brush his teeth. And
well, the only thing I might do to either of them is fisting them with a glove on. That's the only thing I would do with either of them.
Why would you do that? Why of all things?
No, it'd be like spelunking.
Okay, so what are people on Facebook saying about whether or not... Because this is kind of like a controversial thing, because I think, you know...
Do you reach around the aisle?
Do you reach around the aisle and have sex with somebody that you're attracted to if you fundamentally and deeply disagree with their politics and feel that that person might be actually against your own best interests?
So Stan says, not even if I were a girl and married to him. Would you have sex with him? Oh, wait, you probably would. Make sure you wear a full body condom.
Whatever. Okay. Life Lube wrote, puke.
Cassandra says, give him a head transplant and I'll think about it. His body is great. It's his brain that I'm calling into question.
Jay Hagger, well, as an outsider of the United States, I would not mind doing my delicates on those washboard abs.
Ooh, your delicates. Bill Shute says, absolutely. My mind tells me no, but my body tells me yes.
Brent Phillips, and Brent is a very countercultural kind of like punk blogger. Would I have sex with him? I only have sex with men I'm in love with. Joking! Ooh. I totally hit that.
And Zach says, you don't have to look very hard in the gayborhood to find folks who have. Zach, whoa. I will be asking you at the gym more about that.
Yeah, because we know Zach.
And Leroy says, at the drop of my favorite fascinator, hell yes.
And then last but not least, Patrick Plain, eating healthy and exercising is not good enough excuse to abolish Obamacare, which is what he seems to be preaching. I hope folks can stop drooling long enough to see the bullshit behind his spin. Pound, hashtag, wake up.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's his big thing. So he was, I don't think he voted on Don't Ask, Don't Tell because he wasn't around at the time. But he also, he doesn't want Obamacare.
Yeah. He's very vocal against, you know, advancing of equality, advancing of healthcare, which are issues that are very... He actually did vote. From what I've researched that I've done, I think he actually voted against Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
But Senator Mark Kirk, who they also
let me clarify. He vocalized opposition mm-hmm. against Obama lifting the military's mm-hmm. ban on gays serving in the military. Right. So he wasn't able to vote, but he said, if I could have voted, that's what I would have done.
And Senator Mark Kirk from Illinois, who is also, they say, is closeted gay, he actually voted to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell. He was one of the Republicans that crossed over.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
He reached around the aisle. He had bye. Right. Party. I'll never get tired of that pun. What is going on with a Tea Party saying that they rather, what is it that they rather have the gays, they're worried about the military lifting the ban on the gays, so they'll get over the debt ceiling if the military allows or forces gay men to go back into the closet. So the guy's known as William Temple, and he's dressed up as George Washington, and recently at an event, he was wanting to put the gay troops back in the closet. He was all dragged up as George Washington, like completely with a three-pointed hat.
Why would anybody pay attention to anybody who's dressed like George Washington?
In a costume
at a rally saying, gays go back in the closet. You can't close a closet door. Once a closet door is open, it's hard to close that shit back up.
I like that the Tea Partiers are really kooky. Mm-hmm. Like they wear tea bags on hats around mm-hmm. their heads, like Mexican sombreros.
They're crazy. They're nuts.
Well, I think the Republicans, they go, well, we're not like the Tea Party. We listen to them, you know, but it's just Republicans with a different name.
Exactly. It's all smoke and mirrors. Well, I know a lot of people are upset, though, and the teabaggers are upset, too, about Don't Ask, Don't Tell is going to be repealed. And now the Navy has told chaplains that they should allow same-sex marriages in states where they allow same-sex marriage. So Navy chaplains will be performing same-sex marriage.
How romantic.
I know.
All that semen everywhere and not a drop to drink.
Semen, semen, semen.
Oh, that's so wonderful. So you could actually like get it for, you know, like Elton John, who has money. He and David Furnos. A little Freudian slip there. So they could get married on a naval ship.
I think you actually have to be a member of the Navy.
So you have to?
Yeah, or you have to find somebody who's in the Navy.
So I could find somebody to marry.
Let's go find some sailors and marry them, Fausto.
Yes.
We'll have our marriage, and then we'll have our Navy marriage.
Well, I don't think polygamy is still legal in this country.
Oh, okay.
Except maybe in Utah.
Well, what they did polygamy. On The Simpsons. Remember, Homer had his Vegas wife?
That's true.
And...
in the Navy.
You can get married in the Navy. I wonder if they'll be playing that at their weddings.
Is there anybody here for love? I love those. You know, in Chicago, I guess we get like a lot of military men coming to town because you'll go around downtown and you see all these like sailors and they always have them in pairs.
Yeah, it's hard to get them alone.
Why do they do that?
I think they technically, like the people, like when you're an ensign or when you're first in the Navy, because they have this training base up here, the Great Lakes Naval Academy. I'm not giving out any military secrets. It's actually, you can see it on a map.
Oh, I thought you were Geraldo Rivera. But telling the terrorists where to put their bombs.
Right. So this, and they just take the train into the city. So you see them up in Evanston. You can see them downtown a lot, too. But they're all very, very young. They're like 18, 19 years old, most of them.
I like them when they get a little older and they put on a little, you know, weight. A
little muscle.
Mm-hmm. And they stretch out that white, tight-fitting thing. And you can just see the bulge in their pants. And you see that horny they are. You're like,
that's the Navy.
Let's go. I have a mop bucket here if you're into that kind of kinky stuff.
Cosplay.
So, yeah, cosplay, I had explained to a friend of mine today, is costume play.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like based on Japanese animation where they look back at their favorite comic book heroes, their characters, and they pretend to be them. But the strange thing about cosplay, it's not like leather or sexual fetish, because they don't necessarily have sex with these costumes on.
But a lot of them do, though, don't they?
I don't think so. They just like put them on, and it's for it to be part of a scene. So they go like a comic book convention.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought that people who are into cosplay have sex in those costumes, but it's not necessarily the case. In fact, most of them will tell you that they don't.
Mm-hmm. And they have all those rules. They're like, oh, no, he'd never do that while he's in costume. Or he always does this when he's
costume. Oh, yes, because it's about the character.
Yeah, so.
And so I was convincing my friend, because she has a boyfriend who looks like Thor. and she looks a little bit like Queen Amidala, Natalie Portman, in the new Thor movie. And I said, you know, if you guys get into cosplay, you could dress up your boyfriend as Thor, and you could be, you know, Natalie Portman and be the scientist and taking measurements. And she liked that idea.
She's like, measurements of what?
And I say, whatever you think you need to measure, girlfriend.
You don't want measures five women's hands long?
What?
Steve Tyler's penis.
What? I don't believe you.
Yeah, I'm telling you. He's Guns N' Roses drummer Steven Adler sat down and he was talking about how big Steven Tyler's penis was. Now, they first started talking about Xtends, which are those little pills that will make your penis bigger, supposedly.
I think they paid him to talk about that.
Well, no, he says, he negated them. He says, I've tried them. They don't work. After seeing Steven Tyler's rig with five different girls' hands wrapped around it, I'm lucky I take my clothes off after that. I was devastated. So that's got to be pretty long if you figure out, like, girls' hands, like, at least 3 inches across. What is his penis, like, 15 feet?
That's just, you know, drunk friends bragging about each other's dicks. Because we all know, according to, who is it? Rolling Stone frontman.
Mm-hmm.
I'm blanking on his name now.
Mick Jagger.
Mick Jagger. Everybody knows that he has a tiny little dick.
Well, yeah, because it's been said. Marianne Faithfull told
people. No, but who said it was this guitarist, Keith Richards.
Yes.
And they're not talking anymore because of it.
I think he said it because he said Marianne Faithfull said it.
But he was like basically passing it on, you know. It's one thing if your angry ex-girlfriend says it. It's another thing if your friend says it, you know, as if he would know what his dick looks like anyways. But well,
so I don't know if those extends things work or not, but they did a study and they figured that the only thing that really works on making a penis longer is traction.
Now, what do you mean by traction?
Traction. So it's basically putting your penis in this traction device for about 4 hours a day for 4 months. And maybe, just maybe, you'll get like half an inch. Flaccid.
So it's like a medieval torture device, only they attach it to your dick and you stretch it out.
That's right. And I don't even know if that would make your penis like longer when it's hard. That's when it matters, right? That's why we need stem cell research. Because, you know, that's if they could just sell it to the public, like stem cell research will equal bigger dicks. People would be on board for it.
Yeah, basically any kind of medical technology you need advanced. Mm-hmm. If bigger dicks equal the cure for AIDS, AIDS would have been cured in the 80s. Steve Tyler is also on the cover of Rolling Stone magazine. And I didn't buy it. I took a picture of it with my cell phone at the grocery store. And they have a picture of him looking pretty haggard. And the caption is, Steven Tyler, from bad boy to America's sweetheart.
What? How did he become America's sweetheart?
I guess because they like him as a judge on American Idol.
And they think he's a girl now or something?
They're trying to like force feminize him, but it's, you know, he kind of looks like, what is it that actress that looks like not like a, like Ruth Bader Ginsburg on a bad day?
Isn't she a Supreme Court judge?
Yeah. He looks like he looks a little bit like her. I had actually a teacher in art school teacher. Mm-hmm. If you live here in Chicago, she's actually the dean of undergraduate students now at the School of the Art Institute.
She looks like Steven Tyler?
She looks exactly like him.
Wow.
And so I was a big fan of Guns N' Roses. And so when I sat through art school and she was giving me a critique, all I could think is, "Do you look like a lady?"
That's Aerosmith, man.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Aerosmith, but Steve Tyler is the lead singer for Aerosmith.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm confusing my bands here. But.
We saw Aerosmith in concert once. It was a fun concert. It was Aerosmith and Kiss.
I was with you.
And it was raining. We were at the Tweeter Center, back when it was called the Tweeter Center. I don't know what it's called now.
We were separated.
We were. And it was very muddy and rainy, and we were on this hill. And I remember I would go off to smoke, and then I'd come back, and it was like one time I couldn't get back up the hill because there was so much mud. I was just slipping. I was like one of those like Roadrunner movies or cartoons where your feet just keep going in circle, 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 and you don't move.
You and I were not together. We had separated for a year, and it was me and my friends from my job at the time, and I asked you if you wanted to come to see Aerosmith and Kiss. And I had a garage sale to do the next day, so when we went, we were like, we are going to this concert whether it kills us. And it was like Noah's Ark. It was pouring. And then Gene Simmons came out and he's like, "You guys are true Kiss Army fans because you sat here for an hour and a half through the rain."
Well, the other thing about it too is it was supposed to take place in the beginning of September, which is typically good weather, and they postponed it like 3 weeks. So it's the end of September and it's cold and it's wet.
And then later that night, was it? Or the next day, we got back together. So no. You could, yeah, I think we got back together like shortly thereafter. So
that's
you could
how you
say.
Remember it.
Oh, you don't, you're going to disagree?
Well, it was...
Shortly, so you could say that Kiss and Aerosmith sparked love in our relationship. You disagree.
I like the way your brain works, though.
It's true, though. I have photos of it. Actually, it was a Rufus Wainwright concert that we saw in the suburbs of Chicago, and then we got back together that night. I remember these things. And you said, "You are the only love for me, Foster."
Aww.
And I cannot imagine living my life without anybody else. And I was like, "Oh, that is so sweet." And you're like, "Don't cry. Don't cry."
I'll save the real story for a future show. But that's the
way it went.
Okay.
Where you laugh? Now you're not, I'm like, believe me, I have an elephant's memory about these things.
I'm laughing about the Viagra condom, which actually I think I'm not really laughing about. I think it's a fantastic idea.
So why are you laughing about it?
Well, because I think, you know, it's Viagra condoms. It's penises. They're kind of, you know.
You're so cock hungry tonight.
You know what it is? I was just searching for some cock news and that's what came up.
So they made... they put Viagra into a condom, like medicine?
It's not really Viagra. So they've taken a condom and they've coated the inside with a gel that makes penile erections firmer, bigger, and longer lasting. And they're going to try and release it in Europe by the end of 2012. And so it's by a Durex brand, but it's not really Viagra. It's another kind of chemical combination. So you actually have to already be hard.
It
keeps your dick hard. And I think
that's a good idea.
That's part of the reason. Well, yeah, they're thinking it's going to be great for sexually transmitted diseases because, you know, part of sometimes, you know, you're hot and you're heavy for somebody, but then you start to put that condom on and you're just kind of like, "Oh, I'm losing my boner." Or you have it on and you're like, "Oh, I don't really feel anything." So this is something that's going to make it harder, firmer, and stronger.
But haven't you ever been with a guy that was so hot that you needed a condom because otherwise you would have just popped your load right there? Sometimes, you know, it's like it slows things down and sometimes it's a necessary evil.
Maybe when I was like 19, but
you were like, "I got this hot." Well, you were fucking gross at 19.
I was,
you know, artificially lengthening your cock with weights using Viagra gel condoms.
I think I've tried pulling on it before to see if it would make it longer, but it didn't work.
Kids, do not try this
at
home.
Worried about
your
it.
Cock
not
is
worried about
fine.
This.
Trust me.
Chances are you do not need any kind of like cock enhancement.
Yeah, or, you know, maybe, you know, you need a little cock. Is there like a cock shortening or shrinking procedure?
I do kind of feel sorry for some guys whose cocks are so big that they're kind of like, they're unruly.
Yeah, I had a boyfriend at one time and he was like baby arm.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's fine for every now and then, but man, you don't want to deal with that on a regular basis.
I was like, that is not going inside me. I can just tell you
right now. There's so many bottoms out there right now. Oh, yes, you can.
Oh, baby, you give him. I was like, he's not alive.
So a few months ago, we talked about the Northwestern human sexuality class, and they had done a presentation where they brought on a girl and she was fucked by like a fuck machine. It was a fuck saw. Basically, it was a kind of a machine that goes in and out, and they attached a dildo to the end of it. And they wanted to show the class how a woman has an orgasm without clitoral stimulation. With a machine. Too much information? So anyway.
At this point.
So it happened after class. So students were invited to watch it. They didn't have to watch it, but many of them stayed. I believe 300 of them watched it. Well, when the parents found out, they flipped out. And so there was a big controversy. The woman that was involved, she was on Twitter. She was tweeting about it, being like, it's just an orgasm. I'm an exhibitionist. It's no big deal. Well, now the university has come out and said they're canceling the class for this next season. So,
and so where is science going to advance if it's not going to happen in our academic
system? So I think we should all go up to Northwestern, pull out our fuck saws, and just lay out on the middle of the lawn and...
I don't think that's legal. I do not think that's legal.
Protest. And so the person in charge of the class, he didn't get to make the decision. It's like made by like the provost or whoever's in charge of the department. So
there's your cock news. Mm-hmm. So Viagra gel condoms, lengthen your cock. Was that really? Oh, Steve Tyler, I guess, and Steve his Tyler big, cock. Massive cock. Mm-hmm. And just goes to show that you could be the lead singer of a band and you can have a very small dick like Mick Jagger or a big dick like Steven Tyler.
It doesn't matter. The size of your penis is not who you are as a person.
And your music will sound just as nice no matter how big or small your dick is. As long as you can carry a tune on the new show X Factor with Paula Abdul and Simon Cowell. When you thought that the joy of seeing Paula Abdul drunk and banging her forehead against a microphone was over, it's back. She is back. Lock up your liquor cabinets. Paula Abdul has been reunited and set to be a judge on the next season of X Factor. I'm actually going to watch that.
I will watch that too. So was this whole like her leaving and them having problems and the money issues, was that all just like a big hoo-ha for the news, or was that actually going on?
I think that secretly they hate Randy and this is like their way of getting rid of him.
Oh, dog, no.
Dog, what about me? What? You left me with J-Lo and Steven Tyler. What?
So is she getting the money that she actually wanted from Idol?
I bet. Yeah. Yeah. So she's getting it.
Because Simon's, how much is he making? Because he's still got
so rich. I mean, the thing about it is these people are like, even Paula Abdul is like, makes more money than most of us like will ever dream of in a lifetime. So it's kind of like,
she made money from music when you could still make money from music.
Two steps forward, three steps back. We come together like opposites attract. And you know, it ain't fiction, just a natural fact. We come together like monkeys smoking crack. It's actually not the lyrics.
No, it's not the lyrics. Yeah. So speaking of TV, Susan Lucci's on All My Children, and that show's been canceled.
Thank God. I was sick of all these bitches talking about their soap operas. That era is over and we won. Yay! Oh, justice is served.
But that's an iconic character, so they're finishing her, you know, the last month, or she's going towards the end of it, she's gonna have a doppelganger who's gonna try and take over her life. So we'll see what happens.
Nobody's going to be watching.
But so she's going to be on the next season of Desperate Housewives, though.
Everybody will be watching that.
They'll be watching that. But I'm wondering, because like the women on Desperate Housewives, they're like 40-some, 50. But Erica's like 65. Is she going to play like their mom or something?
The grandmother.
The grandmother? I don't know.
I bet all those actresses, especially Felicity Huffman, are just like, yay, I'm not the oldest one on the show anymore.
So they'll be going
crazy.
Hello,
Susan Lucci. Do you want some cold cream for your wrinkles? That's Felicity Huffman.
So have you ever heard of the network called Bio?
Bio? I've never heard of it, but it's I guess it's about the Earth.
I don't know. Well, it's about
biology.
It's obviously about idiots, because they're offering Sarah Palin's daughter, Bristol, is going to have a TV show. They've ordered 10 half-hour segments of her reality TV show.
Oh, my God. I got a reality TV show. I got a facelift. Now a reality TV show.
Do you really think she got some kind of facelift?
Yeah. Absolutely.
I think she just lost weight. She lost her baby fat. There's pictures going around, especially on D-Listed, of pictures of Crystal before and after. And I think she just plucked her eyebrows and lost some weight.
Listen, if you're having sex with Levi Johnston, it's going to fuck some of your baby fat off. But you can't fuck all the baby fat off.
Sure, you don't want that quickly. You just start working out and exercising, dieting.
I guess, you know.
My belt's getting a little looser these days,
I
have to
noticed say. That. Oh. You can do the turns Gwen Verdon couldn't do. You are just a ballerina. You're going to be winning the pageant for next year. So yes. What is this? This is a really exciting trans news that we should have shared yesterday, but we just heard about it today. It's a grant for trans individuals to pay for their sex change.
It's the Jim Collins Foundation, and it's awarded its first grant for gender-confirming surgery. That's the first time I've ever heard that word, gender-confirming surgery. Have you ever heard that term?
Yeah, the doctor looks at it in your pants and says, "Is that you want to be a dude? Good thing you got a dick. But if you don't want to be a dude, then we'll just do a vaginoplasty or give you a breast lift or breast reduction."
Well, because usually it's like gender change or sexual SRS, sexual reassignment surgery, but this is like, this surgery is going to confirm who you are. So Drew Lodi, I'm assuming Drew is going to be a male to female to male.
Okay.
So Drew submitted his application for a grant in hopes of receiving funds to help him obtain gender confirming surgery that for too long seemed impossible to afford. In preparation for surgery, Drew collected cans 3 to 5 days a week, keeping in mind that 5 cents was way more than zero. So we salute you, the Jim Collins Foundation, and to Drew Lodi on your gender-confirming surgery.
Drew Lodi is the man with the golden voice, only the golden sex change of
gender-confirming surgery.
Gender-confirming surgery.
Yes.
What is it? Ted Williams.
Ted Williams.
Drew Lodi is the Ted Williams of the week.
That's a horrible thing to say.
No, he's a person who was living hand to mouth, and now all his dreams have come true.
Well, I'm not saying he was living hand to mouth. I'm just saying that
collecting cans on the street to get a sex change.
Well, it's
is
not
pretty...
like we don't know if this person was like a homeless person or was this a kid living at school that didn't.
Can
have
I just
money?
Have my fantasy?
Yes,
I can see Drew Lodi going up to Chaz Bono and saying, "You got your mommy's money to pay for your sex change, your gender confirmation surgery." Mm-hmm. I had to collect cans, and then I had to apply for a grant, and they made me do terrible things for it. Terrible things.
Oh,
I think
man.
It's going to be great.
That'd be a good horror film, though.
What?
Is that somebody's picking up homeless people and giving them sex changes and putting them back out on the street. Or not just homeless people, just anybody.
I think a lot of people who want to get sex change, gender confirmation surgeries would probably dress up as homeless people and hope they get picked up by the madman.
Could you imagine if you woke up in the morning and you were in a woman's body? You'd be kicking and screaming.
I march to the first fraternity and scream the sorority matron call.
What's that?
Oh my God, I am so drunk. And the rest is history.
Oh.
It'd be like Species. I'd be going around, I'd be like, I wouldn't mind if I woke up in a chick's body tomorrow. I'd be just fine with that.
You would?
Yeah. If it was like a really effortless transformation, you know, like a genie kind of thing. But not like, you know, surgery and estrogen, all that stuff. But if I was just like, boom, I'm a chick, I'd be like Species too. I'd be invading everywhere. I'd be like, I am dangerous woman.
They'd call you a whore.
No, they wouldn't.
They'd call you a slut.
No, I would find evidence and say, "Oh, I'm going to tell the police where you keep your stash." Mm. And they'd be like, "Oh, okay, no problem."
So Arnold Schwarzenegger has announced that he and his wife of 25 years, Maria Shriver, are no longer going to be married. They're going to their separate ways. They're separating.
Maria, my muscles are weeping.
I'll be back in court to sue your ass for divorce.
Oh, that is so sad. I think he's actually heartbroken.
You think? Why?
Yeah.
Well,
it seems like she's the one who wants a divorce and he actually wants to stay married.
Well, they did a joint statement that said, "A great deal of thought, reflection, discussion, and prayer." And so now they've decided to live apart. "It's a time of great personal and professional transition." Ooh, maybe one of them is going to transition.
from being a skeleton bride to a human being. I'm not saying, man, it's like any man or woman, lesbian, gay, straight, mm-hmm. take a look at Maria Shriver and tell me that Arnold Schwarzenegger is having sex with her. He wasn't having sex with her.
You don't think?
She looked awful. I mean, she really let herself go.
Are you kidding? She stayed bone thin.
That's part of letting herself go. Like, she looked dry and like, you know, desiccated or something. Like, she hadn't drinking enough water.
Drink some water, Maria.
It was like Creep Show.
Poor Maria.
I was scared for her.
Your son's probably listening to this right now.
I love her gay son. I've seen pictures of the chubby one.
Don't out children on the show.
He's not out. He's so cute. He reminds me of me.
Yes.
As a kid. Like, mm-hmm. I see that. I see him as his dad on Arnold Schwarzenegger. I was like, listen, babe, you are going to grow up to be a stud. Mm-hmm. And you have a stud as a dad. And you have a very gorgeous mother who used to be gorgeous. She's like a little tough right now, but, you know, drink a glass of water.
I'd like to see you look that good at 60.
Well, I'll be drinking some water. I don't. Well, you're now telling me she's 60 years old.
Well, she's probably at least 55, I would imagine.
She's just got to drink some water and she'll be fine. It's like the skin needs to grow back.
A little tight.
It's just a little tight.
She's always been super thin like that, though.
And she looked good for a while, but it's like, you know, I'm not going to.
She eats like a head of broccoli a day, and that's probably it.
Yeah, it's like, come on, girl. Have some. Go hang out with Monique and get yourself some ribs, some mashed potatoes, some corn on the cob, and have yourself a good
Monique's
time.
Monique's lost weight, too.
Yeah, but Monique is still a fat girl with a PHATZ.
That's true.
And she is proud, loud and proud and in charge, large and in charge. And I cannot wait. She's going to be here in Chicago. And she's coming up for Pride Fest Milwaukee. Even though they're not advertising on today's show, I'm just too excited.
I know.
I'm so excited. It's we have a big announcement to make tomorrow, but we cannot announce it today.
And we have to wait till everything is confirmed.
That's correct. But it's going to be crazy.
We have a ton of questions through Facebook.
Oh, well, let's hear what they have to say.
I like, Matthew Munson says, I like the new Gaga single. Do either of you have any impressions of it? I wasn't allowed to listen to it. I got yelled at for listening to it. So sorry.
I listened to it. I have to say that Lady Gaga's seems to me that she's creatively exhausted because she's touring a lot and it doesn't allow her mental and creative space to come up with new songs. And I love Alejandro. I love Bad Romance Poker Face. And I don't feel like these songs yet have that charisma that something like even like Born This Way has. You know, so I'm kind of on the fence. I still have to grow to it.
I gotta listen to it when I'm less stressed for time. Sir Dahar Rao says, hey, do you have a manager or a secretary to organize all your stuff?
We don't, but we do depend on the listeners and other bloggers to share stuff with us. Go to feastoffun.com/fresh and you can share stuff and have an impact on today's show.
Saridhar also wants to know, who is your webmaster?
That is several different people work on the website, including me.
Mm-hmm. He also wants to know, what percentage of the content on the site is you, if it isn't?
What is this, like a
listen, he's got 10 survey? Questions here.
Are we going to go through all these questions? What percentage of the content on the site is us, if it's not all us? The site is curated by Mark and me and you, the listeners. Meaning that the content that gets featured and voted up and is by your activity. So if you like something, comment on it or share it on your Facebook page, and that's how it'll actually become popular. And that's what popularity means.
What percentage of your audience do you think is straight?
We did a study in 2006, and it's about 20 or so percent.
How many teen gays have you talked to in my life or on this show?
Yeah. I mean, I chat with all our listeners on Facebook all the time. They chat me up and, you know, I get a lot of insight and inspiration from a lot of LGBT youth that listen into the show. And I have to say, like, you guys get me motivated and excited and moving forward. If it wasn't for the creativity and resourcefulness that so many LGBT youth and teenagers have out there, and putting your stuff out there on YouTube and blogging and sharing it with our audience on feastoffun.com. I mean, I'd kill myself. This is how it gets better, by watching you do your thing.
Well, I think he may have wanted to know, like on our show, how many have we talked to? Not too many. I don't really want to talk to people that are under the age of 18 because, you know, it brings up problems and it's issues of consent. So it's better if they're after the age of 18.
I am interested, though, in talking to a LGBT teenager and their parent about one that successfully started a gay straight alliance in their school, whether you're LGBT identified or not, or straight, and talk to your parents and get you on both on the show and talk about the experience. Cause I think a lot of LGBT youth would actually benefit knowing what mm-hmm. it's been like and how easy or difficult it was.
Mm-hmm. How much seed would hit the floor, Corey Peck wants to know, in the Pfaff Studios, if we could get Thomas Roberts, Aaron Schock, and Scott Herman to team up for a fitness video.
Well, first of all, if it was Thomas Roberts, I think seed would get spilled. Aaron Schock and Scott Herman, it wouldn't.
Mm.
They don't put out. I tried.
No, for you guys. What? He's asking us, would we be masturbating to that?
I don't masturbate to any of the guests, but I have said some guests that were very attractive and very flirtatious. I said to them, I made eye contact and I said, we do not need to tape this show.
David A. Huggins says, what do you think of that Orthodox Jewish newspaper that photoshopped out Hillary Clinton out of the Osama photo because she's perceived as being sexually suggestive?
Man, Orthodox Jewish people, and it's like right-wing, conservative, any religion, you know, who's more detestable is really what it is. And they're just like, that anybody even pays attention to what they're doing or what they say is, it's ridiculous. You know, cropping out, this is a woman who has earned her right to be in that room, and they're cropping her out because, what, she had her legs crossed or could see her blouse?
Because she's a woman. That's the only reason.
The only reason was because she was a woman. And my sister actually for a long time lived in Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. And she would always post things on Facebook and send me links, like all this crazy anti-woman signs that in this country we wouldn't put up with.
No.
You know, these people would be run out of town. Mm-hmm. And yet we put up with it with other religions. And I think it's ridiculous. I don't think any religion should be allowed to brag and limit people like that.
Well, we live in a country, thank God we live in a country that has religious freedom. And if they want to do it, good for them.
I don't think it's a matter of religious freedom. I think it's about oppression of other people. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, it's one thing to express yourself religions, mm-hmm. but when your religion, for example, is human sacrifice, then you're not going to be able to practice it.
I'll never forget one time I was riding my bike on the lakeshore, and we have this beautiful lakeshore path, and I see all these young girls come by, and it's like one after another. And I finally figured they were all wearing these skirts and they're riding bicycles, and you could see all of their panties. Because that's what happens when you wear a long skirt and you're riding a bike on a windy day. We're going to see your bloomers in your panties. And they were Orthodox Jewish girls. And they weren't allowed to wear pants, so they had to wear these skirts. So it was one after another, and it was like a day school or something. It was the middle of the summer. There was 50 or 60 of them, all on bicycles, all of them with their panties showing. And I'm thinking to myself, why would they send them out like that? Why wouldn't you have them in pants or in shorts or something? I felt like saying something to one of the adults with them.
You should not say something.
But then I was just like, it's either a choice between these girls flipping off their panties for any pervert going down. Like it was one panty
after
another.
It's a panty fetish.
It was a panty fetish. And then I was just like, or it's like the option of these girls not being able to ride bicycles. And I'd much rather these girls enjoy themselves, have fun, and ride a bike, and maybe turn on a few perverts. But me, I was just like laughing. It was like comedy.
Well, anytime I see anybody wearing ridiculous clothing in their name of their religious beliefs, you just have to kind of roll your eyes.
Did you know, like with the Orthodox, I think it's with the Frum, the women aren't allowed to grow their own hair.
They're bald underneath that.
They're bald underneath that, and they have to wear synthetic hair wigs.
I know, it's like
that's some kind of drag, man.
And they shave down there too.
Yes.
It's like, it's a bald diva.
And Daniel A. Huggins says, what political figure...
David.
I'm sorry. David says, what political figure would you want to see shirtless? Who would I want to see
I want to see Bob Dole when he was really young and he was an underwear model for JCPenney's. mm-hmm. shirtless then.
Is Prince Harry considered a...
we've seen him shirtless too.
Yeah.
Ginger Harry.
But in person.
But most of the, like, the leading political figures, like, I'd rather have a politician who's intelligent and capable. The problem with a lot of political politicians is that everybody's like, who do you want to have sex with? Who do you want to have a beer with? Who do you want to be friends with? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know, if Obama was my next door neighbor, I probably wouldn't talk to him because I'd be bored.
He'd be like, Fausto, come on, let's play some basketball. You're like, I don't like competitive sports.
No, he'd be...
I'd rather do gymnasts.
No, no, he'd be my next door neighbor and he'd be like, hello, Fausto, this is Barack, but you can call me Barry. And so Michelle and I are going to have a little barbecue and we're going to hang out. And if you want to come over, that'd be great.
And later on, we might go kill fucking Osama bin Laden.
But anyways, the point is, I'm saying I want politicians and leaders who are capable mm-hmm. at bringing about change. I don't want to hang out with them. I want to be friends with them. I just want them to be good leaders. Mm-hmm. I don't want to think of them as my friends. I want to think of them as my employees of a very fabulous company there.
And you're going to be like the Devil Wears Prada lady.
Yes. They come into my office. I said, President right. Barack Obama, my coffee's late.
That's all.
Did you kill Osama bin Laden? Wonderful. Next. How's my health care coming along?
Yes.
You know, how's my universal health care? We're waiting for that still.
2014?
Don't get sick, people, until 2014. Keep electing those Democrats. The liberal Democrats, not the... What is it they call them? The blue dog?
Oh, get rid of those blue dogs.
Where did that name come from?
I don't know. They just made it up one day. You know what? I think I don't know which... the blue dogs came first, and then the teabaggers are like, hey, we could do the same thing. Split the party so they just, you know, we get people elected.
Okay, Mike Gonzalez, isn't he anti-gay, Shock, that is? I don't care how great your abs are if you're a hater. Agreed, but Mike, I bet that in your life you probably have had sex with somebody who was a hater.
Maybe.
Maybe. We don't know.
They hated something. Maybe it was Marmalade.
Everybody hates something. Mm-hmm. Everybody has shortcomings. Even Aaron Shock.
Mm-hmm. I want to give a shout out to the wonderful people who donated to make today's show possible. Tim, Fabian, Phil in New York, Jamie, we love you, Chicken Girl, Raina, and Eric. We can't
you
do the show without
you. Are the backbone of the Feast of Fun. Because we like to think of you guys as friends who share the passion and excitement for this type of news and programming that we can provide. And as iTunes' most downloaded podcast for an LGBT audience, we thank you for your financial support in helping make the show and the site possible. We couldn't do it without your help. Right now, we are at a crossroads. As the success of our podcast and the social news site has grown, so has our cost to provide the programming for everyone for free. Our podcast reaches over 70,000 people every week. The site receives over 250,000 unique visitors every month. It's exciting because a lot of people are sharing the enthusiasm that you and I have for this unique, in-depth, LGBT-centric programming that really we feel nobody else is doing. But it's very financially hard to doing it at this level with the resources that we have. We want to keep Feast of Fun free so that anyone, no matter who they are, can access a show and hear a rainbow of LGBT voices come in loud and clear. But right now, we are in the red. We have to consider shutting down the site and this podcast. Remember when people said when we started in 2005, we wouldn't make it?
Yeah.
They might be right. So we have to count on your financial support today. Please make a special gift of $25 or more and help us continue Feast of Fun. We need to raise $3,500 by the end of the month. Otherwise, it's over. I am not joking. This is sincere. We are sad that we have to say these things, but that's the reality. Go to feastoffun.com/donate and make a contribution. If not, we thank you for your support, and we thank you for listening to our podcast through the years as we continue to pursue other career opportunities that don't cost more than they that don't bring in as much as they cost to produce. Yeah. So that's the reality.
Yeah, it's tough. And, you know, I want to thank the people that did donate today. And let's work towards that goal and make it happen. Because I believe in the show and I believe in what we do. And we just need to make it financially viable.
It's kind of crazy. I mean, because we have probably more of an audience than George Lopez has. And George Lopez has a mansion and a swimming pool.
Well, he's
on TV. And we're podcasting from a cardboard box here in Chicago, Illinois. It's like good times, only we're like, you know, Bookman's cockroaches.
Bookman,
buffalo butt.
Oh, jeez. It's been a long time since I've seen Good Times. Yeah, so I'm not gonna be too quick on the
Mark, we references. Have it on DVD here.
Actually, I think you can watch all of it on YouTube.
I know. It's excellent. One of the best television series.
Ever.
You know,
I waited on a woman that looked exactly like Florida from that TV show.
Esther Roll.
So I said, you look just like Esther Roll. She's like, thank you very much. My pastor tells me that all the time. She looks like, I wonder if it was Esther. No, I think she was dead by then, but who knows?
Damn, James.
Is that when James died?
Yeah.
Oh, that'll be the last words on Feast of Fun.
Damn.
I believe in it. Well, we can do it.
We can do this.
We can do it with donations. If anybody, I know we have people out there that are in marketing, that work for advertising agents. Do what you can.
If you believe in this podcast, you believe in the audience and what the show represents, you owe yourself the treat of being able to continue to listen to Feast of Fun. Get your marketing department, get your advertising department and say, do you advertise on podcasts? Why do you not advertise on the Feast of Fun podcast? iTunes, most downloaded podcast for a gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered audience. LGBT people.
More people listen to this podcast in 1 week than is published editions of all of the gay media in town, including Chicago Magazine, Windy City Times, Night Spots, Get Grab, and Gay Chicago Magazine.
All combined, their circulation. You can actually see our circulation going up and down and up and down on the site. Some shows are not winners. Some of them bust through the roof. But one thing you know is that we are on the level with you. And we want to do a special shout out to Eric Hyman, who loves us, who's been with us from the very beginning, coming here to perform in the studio. We introduce you to amazing LGBT independent unsigned artists that you're never going to hear about anywhere else. You would have never known about Eric Hyman and Tom Goss and some of these other fantastic artists if it wasn't for their participation on the podcast. And we salute them because for us, they are our voice. They are our community. They enrich our lives. We're going to leave you with a classic song by Eric Hyman. Whether I do or don't mind, read what you want into it. It is from his classic album, Everywhere All at Once. It is one of the best things that he's ever made. I am Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
Thank you so much for listening. Bye-bye.
Because tomorrow comes whether I do or don't mind. Whether I do or don't mind. Whether I do or don't mind. What tomorrow has for me to find will come. Whether I do or don't mind. You call me up and say that you miss me. I wanna have my cake and eat it selfishly. Every day I choose to roll the dice to see which road of these will lead to paradise. If there was a way to stop time, wouldn't that be nice? But tomorrow comes. Tomorrow comes. But tomorrow comes whether I do or don't mind. Whether I do or don't mind. Whether I do or don't mind. What tomorrow has for me to find will come. Whether I do or don't. Whether I do or don't. Whether I do or don't mind.